Then all the trees said to the buckthorn, "Come, you, reign over us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have this enigmatic teaching right now that comes to us from the book of Judges. Remember, what's going on here is, what do we see? We see that the great judge Gideon, who liberated the whole world, rather, he liberated the whole of Israel from the abuse of the Amalekites. What he did was he began to reign over them, and it gave them a time of unmeasured peace. And then all of a sudden, people began to become jealous and overthrow those who were around him and set up a king who was not worthy of it, somebody who they wanted because he was related to them, because he looked like them, because he was their own people, which Gideon was not exactly like them. And because of that, they rejected him and selected this other man. It didn't turn out well for them. Eventually, what you'll find there, if you look at the history books, and even just a little bit further in the reading, that after they anoint this person king over them, come and he reigns over them, what do? They themselves can't even stand him. They rise up against him, and they kill him. What is the buckthorn? Does anybody know what a buckthorn is? What's a buckthorn? Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a cactus tree. It's kind of like a tumbleweed. It's kind of like this really, really small little plant that's got all sorts of spines that come out of it. All these other trees say, I'm going to have to give up what I'm good at to go and do something and to go wave over you, to go rule over you. I'll take a pass on that. I'll take a pass on these things. And the buckthorn, this little tiny plant that has spines on it, not very tall, how is it going to wave over? How is anybody going to be able to take shelter under it? What's going to happen is that it's going to dry out, as it says, and fire will come forth from the buckthorn and consume. What it's talking about is various ways of rulers. It's for this reason why the church has always looked with suspicion upon a ruler who is selected by the people. The reason being is because oftentimes people don't know what they need. They only know what they want. That's why Plato, in the great book, The Republic, absolutely hated democracies. Because it was people rising up, and they would always be moved by their passions and not choose wise rulers, but choose rulers who would give them a bunch of free stuff, which would ultimately take down the republic. But today we have a great ruler, Pope St. Pius X. Pope St. Pius X is not somebody who would have been popularly elected by anybody at any point in our history. He wasn't even a very well-to-do man. He came from Mantua. He was born in the 1830s, a backwards area of Italy. In fact, people talk about Pope St. John Paul II as being the first Polish pope. False. Giuseppe Sarto, who's right there, his family was from Poland. They recently moved to Italy not long before he was born, so technically he would be the first Polish pope, just barely being born in Italy. And so from that very poor family, he saw from a very early age that he had a vocation to become a priest and put everything into that, but his family had nothing to be able to support his education. His local parish priest supported his education, sent him on to that direction. And he complained, "Father, look, I understand everything that there is to understand about the Eucharist. I can tell you everything that there is about it. I can tell you so much about what's going on here. Why won't you give me Holy Communion, Father?" What was his response, the priest? He says, "You're not old enough. Just age-wise, you're not old enough." Do you feel that way sometimes, Lucas? You just want to receive Jesus right away. You just want to receive him right now because you love him and you want him. You know that he's there. I feel the same as him. And so what his parish priest said to him, he said, "Look, I'm not in charge of this. I just got to follow what the church says. Giuseppe, one day when you become pope, you can change that." I want to tell you, Giuseppe Sarto, Pope St. Pius X, is the patron saint of first communicants. Why? Because as soon as he became pope, not long after that, he lowered the first communion age, which is where the church currently stands. That he said, by the time a child has arrived at the state of reason, meaning 7 years old, the age of reason, the time for his ability to be able to receive first holy communion certainly has already arrived, if not before. Beautiful. So there he began changing all these beautiful things that were in the church. His motto as a pope was to restore all things in Christ. Our bishop now, you know, does anybody know what his motto is? You don't pay attention to those things, that's fine. It's on his coat of arms. It says, "Abide in Christ," taking it from Sister Anne's favorite passage in John chapter 15. Abide in Christ, abide in the vine that is Christ. Giuseppe Sarto said, to restore all things to Christ, to bring all things which are in disarray can only be brought together in Christ. Giuseppe Sarto was an amazingly pious man, amazingly pious priest who came from very little, and every time he was just excited that he got to be a priest. He was put over a small parish after being a vicar for a while, being an assistant priest for a while, and said, "This is the greatest. I'm in this parish. I hope to die in this parish. I love it." And not long after that, they saw his great skill and ability, especially good preaching and teaching. They made him a bishop of that same area, which he hated to be able to do because he said, "I'm not qualified for that. And plus, I don't even have enough money to buy the right cassock. I have this ratty old black cassock. I don't have those nice things and can't afford it." So his sister took that same ratty cassock that he had, bleached it, and dyed it in the regal purple. So it was the same cassock, but just changed colors. And so he went that way and eventually was made cardinal archbishop of Venice, one of the most important sees, bishoprics in the whole of the world. Again, he didn't have any change for that red, so what did his sister do? Took that same ratty old cassock that was once black, had been bleached once, made purple, bleached a second time, and now it was in cardinal red. He said, "Why even bother going to this conclave there to elect the Pope? I have so many things to do here. I might as well just stay there." But he went anyway because his people forced him to go. And because of that, he was elected Pope in that very same conclave. Conclave which he almost didn't himself attend. He refused to accept, but only because they forced him to do so, his spiritual director to accept, did he. And he changed the world forever. He was a holy, holy man. And he said to restore all things in Christ. When we look around in the world today, in our church today that seems in shambles, that seems like it's taken off by all sorts of scandals that are waged here, scandals of the faith, scandals of the moral life, all sorts of things that are going on within our world, as we look at the Pew report that says there's very few people, even among practicing Catholics, who even believe that Jesus is body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. So few people attend Mass on Sundays, much less holy days of obligation. And we wonder what's going on with the faith. Here's the reason why. Nobody will be able to restore things in Christ unless first they themselves are restored in Christ. If you look at anybody who tries to bring reform to the church or to the world and you see that their lives do not measure up to what it is that they're calling for, they're not going to be able to do it. The reason why Pope St. Pius X was able to transform the papacy, be able to transform the church that was in shambles at that time, to be able to defeat the scourge of modernism that was attacking the church at that time, was because he himself was fully converted. He was a holy pope. We have to have a holy pope if we're going to have a holy church. If we're going to have a holy diocese, that means we have to have a holy bishop. If we're going to have a holy parish, that means we have to have a holy priest. Brothers and sisters, do you pray for those things? Today's the day to pray for them. Today's the day to pray through the intercession of Pope St. Pius X, whose relic is right there. Ask for his intercession, that we could indeed have a holy church, that we can indeed have a holy diocese, that we can indeed have a holy parish, restored in Christ, reformed in Christ. Pope St. Pius X was a man of poverty, a man of great teaching, and a man of great love for the Eucharist, for the youth, for children. Let us ask our Lord that he would raise up another one of the same spirit of Pope St. Pius X to restore all things in Christ, especially within our parish, especially within our diocese, especially within the whole of the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.